right, Buccaneers fans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman. If you missed our two podcasts earlier this week, we had our special Trent Cooper bonus edition on Monday.
Today we had a heated exchange about Mike Evans. Heated, Steve. That's good. That's good podcast.
You and Trent Cooper?
No, here, me and you.
Yeah, we've got it coming up. We're actually recording the beginning of the podcast after we recorded the podcast, which is fine. Did you get any feedback from Mr. Cooper? I know he's a big Hollywood type, as he may not have liked the interview.
He just got off his cruise. He was on a big cruise. You know what? I said, how was the cruise? He goes, three-quarters of the people on there weigh three bills or more. That's what he said. And my answer to him was, salad bar's always empty. Salad bar. He loved what you did with the podcast, Steve. He gave you some kudos. Thought your editing skills were exemplary.
That's good.
Steve,
that's
exemplary.
Good. We left a lot on the floor.
So he's going to hire Izbitz then?
Well, now he's working on the history of the Green Bay Packers. And Lee,
supposed to be
you're
going to
watch that.
Is that supposed to be off the record?
No, I don't think so.
All right. He's going to find out
that
the hard way.
That ought to be something. That ought to be something.
We'll find out.
And then he's got another gig. I forgot what it was, but he's got another big thing.
A man as talented as him always has
the
work.
Man's in demand. The man's in demand, Steve.
Well, yeah, good for Trent Cooper and good for Raise the Flags. 50 years of Buccaneers football. Now, Ira, we also had an earlier podcast this week in addition to this one. So plenty to listen to if you're at the beach this weekend. Catch up. And, of course, you can go back to watching Raise the Flags on Amazon Prime because it's housed there for you to enjoy.
Steve, speaking of 50 years of Buck football, and I wrote this the other day. I didn't know if you knew it or not. The Bucks have the worst winning percentage in the National Football League
NFL,
as a franchise.
Yeah.
I think it's professional sports.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean,
it used to be. I'm not sure if it's still professional sports, but until 10 years ago it was.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, some of that's the 0-26 start. That's tough to overcome. But it's 50 years, Lee.
Yeah.
They've had two terrible stretches. Terrible. The Doug Williams curse and the post Chucky era.
And you know who's been there for it all? And besides you? Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry
Highway.
Nicely
done, Steve. Nicely
65 years. They're huge Bucks fans over there. They love the Bucks. They support the Bucks, and they support Bucks fans. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he's there personally for Bucks fans. We can't emphasize this enough. He's there to help you. He's your favorite uncle in the car business, and you can reach out to him at BillCurryFord.com, not only to get a discount, but say, you know, Sean, I'm looking to do this and this. You think the time's right? What's my best option? I need this. I'm selling my kid's car. She's going off to college. You got to take advantage of what you got in the building, right? We always say the Bucks need to use their best resources. Well, you got to reach out to Sean Sullivan. Bill Curry Ford, schedule mobile service at your house. Doesn't even cost extra. You got to just pay for your service like you would at the shop. And if you don't like that, they have the largest service department in Florida. They got their own tow truck. They'll come and get you. Sean loves that tow truck. He loves it. And he should.
Do you know another car dealership where you can deal with the general manager of the whole dealership? That doesn't happen.
Not very often.
You're dealing with the salesman.
Yeah.
You're not with the front man.
Yeah, and Sean basically operates as the CEO. So, I mean, you got body work. He can guide you there. You have your buy-in, your service.
He has an office. He has a desk. He more often than not uses a desk that's in the showroom. You can walk right up to there. It's like there's no partition or anything. How many general managers of an auto dealership that big has a desk in the showroom that you just walk right up to them?
And Sean also has the CJ Stroud guarantee. He will talk to you about CJ Stroud for a minimum of 12 minutes every time you ask him about it.
And, you know, it's like a Buck fan going trying to track down Jason Light because he wants to change what seat he's sitting in Raymond James.
There you go.
That doesn't happen.
Perfect analogy. BillCurryFord.com. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, serious business. You can't, like, just write off, oh, well, if I have a problem at my house, I'll figure it out. No. Go to Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Study the website. Understand how they help you if you have mold, fire, flood, storm damage.
They're growing.
Water damage. They're growing like mold on an August day because of their 5-star Google reviews across the board. Exemplary service. Homegrown. Family owned. Josh Martin. He loves Ira. He's been on this podcast. We've heard his Bucks takes.
Well versed with the insurance part of the business.
We'll hear him again. He's worked decades on the insurance side of the business. And they will fight for you. You need an offensive coordinator if you have a problem like that. That's who they are. They're going to play defense, too, against the insurance companies because they know all the tricks. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Remember, when you call, even if it's 2 in the morning, because you notice something, I can't say they're going to pick up live, but they'll be back to you before you know it in that morning early. And mention Ira, and you'll get $500 back if you need their service after a free inspection. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira, we've got a rollicking podcast today. But before we get into it, you still have your movie plan this weekend, or that's changed?
I got a movie plan, but Lee sidetracked me. He's already gave me a movie review. Said it was pretty good. The movie's called Pressure. It's a historical drama, and it's about a couple of meteorologists, right, Lee, going at it before D-Day.
It sounds like it's terribly boring, and it's not. That shows you there's some talent in Hollywood, that they could take a subject that seems god-awful boring and make it into a good story. They did do that.
And Steve, in 3 weeks, I'm going to be camping out like some of these people do for some of these Marvel movies. I'm going to be camping out for Disclosure Day. Steven Spielberg going to show us aliens from another planet.
Barbecue? this weekend?
I don't know about a barbecue. I think maybe Carrabba's before the movie. My wife
Carrabba's.
Always gets, you know, she's getting the filet with the mushrooms on the top. And I'm a chicken parm guy. I'm a standard.
So you can have a big, heavy Carrabba's meal and sit in a seat for 2 hours?
And then I barf during the movie.
You won't barf. And this, if anybody sees that movie Pressure, you'll have a different view of Dennis Phillips and Paul Delgado.
There you go. You're about to say something serious.
Yeah, something came up on your podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it's troubled me. It's disturbed me.
You usually don't wait 2 weeks.
For days.
You attack right away.
Well, I had to think about this through. We talked about it. I let it go, but it really disturbed me. And I'm combining it with something else you said.
It's got something to do with Martin Scorsese or De Niro? What do you got?
No.
What do you got?
You said, Ira, Mike Evans, if he had played 16 out of 17 games last season, it wouldn't have changed the Bucks' record. That's what you said. Now, he played 9 games last year. I'll double check. It might be 8. But he played, you know, half the season and missed half the season. And you claim that if he had played 16 games, wouldn't have mattered, wouldn't change their record. And that really disturbed me. But it also made me feel good because you're basically saying no loss by losing Mike Evans.
The way he played last year. He wasn't effective. He was not effective.
He wasn't
effective before he got hurt.
Well, there was at least one game he was certainly effective.
But that's where the quandary is, Ira.
Did he come back at the end of the year when they were still dying?
Yes.
And had no offense?
Yes.
Yes.
Where's the juice?
You didn't see the Atlanta game?
Well, the Atlanta game.
Where's the Miami game?
He played great.
Who was throwing the ball or not throwing the ball?
Baker Mayfield.
Thank you very much.
Well, the question is, you said, we're very clear, that Bucks wouldn't have made the playoffs if Evans played 16 games. He wouldn't have added another win to the schedule. So that's a good thing because he's gone. And Levante David, I don't think anybody's going to miss him. And David himself has admitted, I'm loafing, whatever. So in the same breath, though, you also say, Ira, you don't know where this franchise is going, yet you also predict them to win 9 games. So aren't they on the right track if you're predicting them to improve without two of their stars? I'm confused. You need to explain.
I don't think 9 wins is anything to celebrate. I'm sorry. I just don't.
There are fans listening that are celebrating that you said that.
9 wins, lose a playoff game, season's bad.
Bad season.
Sorry, bad. You're hunting championships, Glazers. You're hunting.
You would hope so.
Don't extrapolate what I said about Evans to 2026 because he had a bad year. Mike Evans doesn't have a bad year, but he had a bad year.
For Mike.
So that's why I said he couldn't tackle a guy in the flat. That was the big problem down the stretch. Wasn't going to help there. Wasn't going to help with a pass rush that couldn't get there.
Levante David, you're talking about.
No,
now.
I'm talking about Mike Evans.
Okay.
He wasn't going to help that side of the ball. Wasn't going to do anything. And I'll say it again. With the exception of the Atlanta game, and Lee's right, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably another reason why that loss hit him so hard.
Yeah.
Because he was great. And Lee and I standing 10 feet away from him when he walked off the field. But Lee caught 30 passes. What do you have, 3 touchdowns? 3? 4?
All season, 3 touchdowns, yeah.
I mean, where's the big difference? He didn't look like himself last year. I'm sorry. He just didn't look like himself. And if he played the first half of the season, how much better would it be? They were 6-2. So, no, I just don't think it would have mattered.
So why does it matter in 2026?
The team quit. I think Lee's right. I think they quit.
Defensively.
I think they quit.
So you're saying it doesn't matter in 2026 that he's gone? If you're
I didn't say that.
Well, then what? How is that?
Because last season was an outlier for Mike Evans. He didn't contribute. He didn't play well. Normally he does.
He played 7 games and he got hurt in the middle of the 8th game, when the guy's hanging all over his back, should have been a penalty, got knocked out, season over, broken collarbone, he came back 8 weeks later. But the guy basically played seven games.
He scored two less touchdowns than Tez Johnson. Case closed.
Mike Evans is not the reason why they missed the playoffs last year.
Thank you.
It was the quarterback.
That's two against one, Steve. How do you like those?
It's not a competition. Lee, do you agree that if Mike Evans played eight games, if he played eight more games, do you agree with Ira that they wouldn't have made the playoffs, that he would not have made a difference?
Oh, I know. I can't say that, but once again, he wasn't throwing the ball to himself. The problem was Mayfield. The problem wasn't Evans. Now, again, I've said this umpteen times. I'll repeat myself. Before the bye, Mayfield was everything you want in a quarterback. That San Francisco game, he put that team on his back. He was awesome. Seattle, he was awesome. Where did that quarterback go? I don't know. That was the problem with the Bucs. It wasn't Evans, because we saw how he came back against Atlanta. He blew up Atlanta's defense. They still couldn't win. And so it wasn't Mike. You know, Mike didn't throw two picks against the tanking Dolphins, so it wasn't Mike. Mike is not
worthy. And I'll say this, and it, you know, Lee, you probably won't agree with me, but in the grand scheme of things, I think it's probably good that both are gone.
Oh, well, maybe David, but I can't say that about Mike.
All right, how about this?
I think it'll hasten the development of the young receivers, the fact that they're going to get more opportunities.
As you said maybe 45 seconds ago, are you shooting for a championship or are you shooting for a playoff loss?
I got confidence in the receiving core without Mike Evans. I got confidence.
All right.
I think it's one of the better ones in the league.
Last year, we saw Evans come back against the Falcons. You know, played great, didn't matter, didn't win. Got it. If he came back a week earlier, you think they would have beaten the Saints? Would they have lost two by 4 points at home, 3 points?
One play is all it took.
No, you're saying no. You already answered the question.
Mike Evans did not have a good season. So you're trying to use him as your fulcrum for winning 10 games? He did not have a good season, period. He did not. Whether he's hurt or not hurt, he didn't have a good season.
So do you think, I'll ask you the other side.
The numbers are the numbers,
Lee. All right, Ira. If Evans played an additional eight games, would they have lost another game? Because he would have drained the team a little bit because he didn't have a good season? Would they have gone 7-10 if Mike Evans played another eight games?
Steve, in the grand scheme, what's the point? Instead of 8-9, they go 9-8 and still losing the playoffs, and it's another bad year. It's another bad year. That was not a good team last year by the
end
of the
season.
No, it was a terrible team.
So, Lee, I'm going to put aside Ira for a second.
Uh-oh.
And I'm the guy that's going to root for Mike Evans, and you two guys want to root against him.
No, Lee, do
you consider Mike Evans a loss to this team? Why?
Take a Hall of Fame player away from any roster, it's going to hurt.
But he wasn't a Hall of Fame player last year.
I'm not ready to throw dirt in Evans' face, is what you're right, if that's what you're asking me. My gosh, how many good years did he have? He had one bad year?
He was injured? What game did he get hurt in, Steve? What game?
Houston. Week three?
At Detroit. We all remember it. Deep shot, got tackled, got knocked out.
He did play in the beginning.
Yes, he played early
in the
season.
And Mayfield was hot in the beginning, and Evans wasn't putting up numbers.
Not like he used to. But I'm not going to say they're better off without Evans.
I didn't say they were better off. Maybe in the long run, not this season. But in the long run, I think they're better off. You got to get younger in this game. You got to get younger.
Oh, yeah, like the Bill Walsh theory. Better get rid of a guy earlier than late.
You know, what was Evans doing before he got hurt? Was he doing anything? Was he doing anything?
Don't tell me you'd rather have Tez Johnson on the field over Mike Evans.
No, but I might rather have Jalen McMillan. I might.
Ooh.
I might.
And that's not a knock on Jalen McMillan.
You got Ted Hurst winning offensive rookie
no,
of the year over
no,
there.
No.
All right, Ira, look, the Buccaneers, when Mike Evans got hurt, they were 5-1. And then they lost in Detroit in what was a two-score game. So I'm not
sure. They weren't 5-1 because of Mike Evans. They were 5-1, period.
Because of Mayfield.
And Buka was doing a lot more than Mike Evans at that point.
He was doing more than everybody.
But the 49ers, if we were sitting right here with Kyle Shanahan, and which he's done already, he'd be sitting there talking about, oh, Evans is going to change our offense. He's going to open up this. He's going to open up that. He's going to do this. He's going to do that.
And he's going to miss five games.
Before the season, when the Bucs played up at Pittsburgh in a worthless preseason game, and they had that joint practice, you know, Tomlin's like, this is what we're looking for. You can't find another receiver like Mike Evans. We have to learn how to defend a guy like him. That's why I want to play the Bucs in a joint practice.
Sage, all I know is the Bucs were 5-1, and Mike Evans got hurt, and the season fell apart.
I don't draw the same parallel as you. I understand what you're saying. He wasn't tearing it up when they were 5-1. He wasn't.
He had missed some games before that, a couple of games.
Yeah, you know, the infamous hamstring. this is the way I look at it. Are the Bucks better off with Evans? Yes. Did the Bucks miss the playoffs because Evans was hurt? No.
Accept it, Steve. Accept it. You heard it from your two comrades. You heard it.
Are the Bucks better off without Jamel Dean, Ira?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not. So you think he's going to play a full season and be ready for the playoffs?
No, I don't think he's going to play a full season. But he'll play 13 games. He shocked the hell out of me, Lee. I'll be the first to admit it.
He surprised me.
I was the guy whispering into Bowles' ear, get rid of this guy. This guy's no good. And
the cornerback whispered.
I guess with the idea that he could be a free agent and cash in a little bit, he had himself a very good season. He was by far the Bucks' best cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody even close. I'm not counting Parrish because he played nickel for the most part.
And he was actually really good for a rookie.
What kind of season do you think Mike Evans has, Ira, this year?
I think he'll score about 7 touchdowns.
How many games is he going to play?
About 12.
How many yards?
850.
Fair.
850?
Yeah.
So not a Hall of Fame season at all. He's not a Hall of Fame player anymore is what you're telling me.
I don't know that. But I don't think he's going to get any better at his age than he was before. He's injury prone now, Lee.
He always was. That was a hamstring. Now
you don't recover as fast. Now you don't recover as fast.
All right. Exactly. Well, we're going to recover when we get back here on the Joe Bucks Fan Show.
You're trying to get me to say Mike Evans is not a Hall of Famer and he's a terrible player.
I'm trying to understand what the hell you're talking about. He says I've been browbeating him. And
you had something stuck in your craw for 2 weeks, Steve. Normally you don't let things fester like that.
Well, I'm just looking for clarity, Ira. It's a very bold statement that you made, I think. Very bold to say if the great Mike Evans played 8 more games last year, wouldn't have made a difference. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. So it's bold. It's thought-provoking.
If he played defense and made a few tackles, you might have a point over there, Isbitz.
All right,
that defense was horrible.
So let's go the other direction.
Horrible, Lee. Horrible.
Let's go the other direction. Lee, Ira, you claim, Ira, you don't know what the direction is of this franchise. So they made all these defensive additions, and you kind of like the offense and the offensive line. So what's the confusion?
Here's my confusion. I think the odds are just as good that they can go 6-11 as 12-5. Just as good. I don't see this as a 12-win team. I'm sorry. And neither do you, Steve. Neither do you. And if things go off kilter a little bit, they can go 6-11. And God knows, you won't recognize this team next year if that happens. So that's what I mean. Look, I thought they were ascending. They won one more game, you know.
For 3 years, right?
Yeah. So that's an ascending team.
Two years.
And I thought it was going to happen for 3 years because I had them.
11 wins?
Yeah, so I thought the growth was going to continue. You might look at the injuries and put everything on that, but I think it's more than that. They needed an attitude adjustment also. And that's not just talent. It's want to. And they lacked want to. Even Lavonnie David, the paragon. The icon, the Hall of Famer. And I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not getting in on year one. I can tell you that.
No, I don't think
with all honesty and with all conviction. That ain't happening.
Somebody, not that you don't want to, just your
for somebody who's
facts.
Been in that room for 20 years, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Keekly didn't get in year one.
That still shocks me.
He did not. So, anyway, are you sure about this team, Steve? You sure about where they're going? Are they in the upper echelons? You're not sure.
I'm trying to be sure of what you're talking about.
I don't know where to peg this team. A lot of people have them like number 18, number 20 out of 32.
Ralph
Vaciano.
22.
22? I don't see anybody putting him in the top 10.
No, I haven't either.
Lee, I just made a bold statement.
Another bold statement.
He just said he believes that the Bucks have, their talent ceiling, combined the coaching as well, that they could be a 12-win team. That could be their ceiling. That's a bold statement.
I think they have the talent offensively to pull that off. I don't know about defensively.
I'm not sure I said that. I said they can just as easily go 6-11 as 12-5.
Yeah, which means you think they could go 12-5. That's they could
high watermark.
They could max out. That's their high watermark.
I don't see it. I don't see
it. I understand, but you got to have enough talent to get there.
I don't see 6-11. I don't see it. But, Lee, would you fall off your chair if they went 6-11?
No.
Would you?
No.
I would. And I think at that point, the Glazers might have to blow it all up, including Jason Light.
After those last 9 games last year, you know, if you said right now they're going to only win 6 games based on what I saw the last half of the season, wouldn't shock me a bit. That was a sorry team last year, last half of the season. For whatever reason.
Very disturbing finish, Steve. Disturbing.
Very disturbing finish, but they made wholesale changes.
They did.
So
at least they addressed the front 7 on defense. I was a broken
addressing
record
is
about
one
that.
Thing. You mentioned a word, and you know, the Bucks have been very open about this. That they wanted the better attitude. You know, they wanted more juice. Did you see, you know, I talked about the Ibaka catch at practice the other day. The Bucks' social media team uploaded that video. Did you see it, Ira?
Yeah, I did.
What stood out for you?
It was wide ass open. No. It was a great catch. It was a great catch. What stood out to me?
Yeah. There was something that stood out to me, and it wasn't Ibuka.
Well,
although that was impressive.
The cameraman did a good job. The cameraman did a good job.
I did see it. I always look at it as you can have a lot of nerve and a lot of whatever going up for a ball when you know no one's going to hit you. So
of course.
It's very different. Obviously, a great catch, great concentration.
Focus. There,
for
yeah.
to pull off a catch like that. A catch like that takes 100% concentration, and not every guy's given that in a spring underwear football practice.
Here's what stood out to me about that. After Ibuka crossed the goal line, he got jumped on by Jalen McMillan. Jalen McMillan was celebrating, running down the field, trailing Ibuka. And what you just said, Ira, we all know that's true, that the Bucks wanted more juice. The first freaking OTA practice. And there's McMillan acting like it's game three.
And Lee, to your point, and I always remember Jimmy Giles telling me this. He said in practice, mm-hmm. training camp, every time he caught a ball over the middle, he took it to the goal line, even in practice, just to get, you get your body accustomed to it.
Very Shannon-esque.
That's
what Shannon had.
Doug Martin used to do that all the time.
Yeah. Doug Martin got that from Shannon.
Take
it to the house.
I think it's a good habit.
But Ibuka was celebrating.
Yeah.
You saw that, like he's tripping the wire. But right behind him was McMillan celebrating. He jumps on top. First freaking play of the first freaking practice. And he's celebrating like he just won week three.
Lee, if I was to name a breakout player for the Bucks, I might name McMillan.
That wouldn't be a dumb move.
I might name McMillan. He could score 10 touchdowns this year. Wouldn't surprise me.
What do you have as a rookie? Seven? Nine?
Seven, I think.
Seven?
It might have been eight.
Yeah, in the last six games.
Yeah.
Five in a row, five games in a row. He had a touchdown, I think.
Nobody talks about that guy. He's physically tough, too.
He hasn't played enough.
Mentally tough, physically tough.
He's tough.
But he proved that he's a badass after coming back from a broken neck.
Catches the ball in the goal line, gets drilled. First target.
Just a tough guy, and I'm very excited to see him.
He's a guy who could benefit from Evans' absence.
Absolutely.
He could.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, someone's got to make up those catches and all that stuff. It's just a question of if Zach Robinson is up to this offense. Is he up to making it happen? Is he the next Liam Cohen or not?
They got to be better in the red zone, Lee. They got to be better. And now they don't have Evans. And he was a force in the red zone.
That's where they're hoping Ted
Hurst. Could Hurst help him in that area?
You know, the thing about Hurst, I know I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about a third-round pick. But so far, everything they throw to him, he catches. Now, I'm not saying they're extraordinary catches. They're very run-the-mill. But he's catching them. That's the thing. It's catching him. He's catching him. He's proven to be dependable. Granted, it's so early. They don't even have pads on yet. It's almost irresponsible to talk about. But so far.
They need a go-to target in the red zone.
You got to be able to run the ball in the red zone. That's how the NFL works these days. You have to be able to run it to have that dual threat in the red zone where you know you're not – you actually got something if you're on the eight-yard line.
They haven't been very good over the years in doing
Bucky
that.
Bucky Irving historically has been bad in the red zone. You know, we'll see if that changes, but the offensive line, that comes down to them. I mean, that's supposed to be their bread and butter. Push the damn pile, get 4 yards when you need it down there.
I don't really see where they have one of those physical runners. I mean, I'm not looking for Mike Allstott. But,
yeah, the scatterboos of the world are few and far between.
I don't see a guy who's going to push the pile.
Well, Sean Tucker's a physical back. He's supposed to be that guy. You know, he's a big guy. He's got speed. But, the offensive line's got to win down there, and now we're going to have an offensive line at least to start the season.
Now, Tucker scored touchdowns last year. Well, Sean Tucker finished with 7 rushing touchdowns. That's a good number. I believe he led the Bucs in touchdowns last season. That's a sneaky stat.
Quiet.
I'm glad they brought him back. There are times when he's got the look of a really good back. There are times.
Yeah.
There are times.
He's
and if
good
the
player.
Offensive line's healthy, I think he could be effective.
Sage, look, we can speculate all day long. I'm just trying to understand the direction of the franchise as you see it, as Lee sees it. I know Lee's... And I get where Lee's coming from.
Well, Lee, they went backwards. Of course you don't know what the direction is.
Thank you.
They went backwards.
Thank you.
Steve, they went backwards.
Okay, you feel confident about the Chiefs' direction? They went backwards?
That's not a Super Bowl team anymore, Chiefs. They got old. Chiefs got old.
So you don't know what direction they're going in?
They're not going 6-11, but they're not going 14-3.
I don't think you can compare the Bucks to the Chiefs because of the quarterback. I mean, one guy's like all-timer, and the other guy, you still don't know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know Lee's answer revolves around the quarterback, and that makes a lot of sense, but I'm not worried about the quarterback. So I think I like their changes. I like what they did on special teams, and I think they legitimately addressed it versus just talking about it, and why McGahee was here as the special teams coordinator in 2025? I'll never know. I mean, why can't you just see that a guy's not so great and then blow him out right away? Todd Bowles, sometimes he hangs on to these guys, and they made the nice, I like some of the defensive coaching changes, and Grizzard, everybody threw him under the bus, so I'll go along with that. And so talent level should be a little better overall. I like it.
They got a lot of new faces, Lee, mm-hmm. that are going to supposedly play prominent roles. When you have that, doesn't it usually take a month for things to start gelling?
Usually.
Yeah, it's fair to expect that. This Zach Robinson. If his offense is that close to Liam Cohen, there should not be a learning curve.
That would be a wonderful thing.
If the offensive line is healthy and there's some ridiculous learning curve with a veteran strong O-line and Baker Mayfield, then just get rid of all these guys. But the defense, my biggest fear with the defense, Ira, is that somehow Anzalone gets hurt.
Oh.
And the middle of that defense is just an absolute mess because they're putting a lot on him, on Anzalone. And
They're also putting a lot on the first-round draft pick, Steve? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but not as much as Anzalone. Because Anzalone's going to be out there every down.
Yeah, yeah.
Bain is not going to be out there every single down.
Anzalone's not 26 anymore.
I know. They need him to play every single down and be a good player and not show his age. Otherwise, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I think they're counting on him to symbolize the new attitude of the defense. Anzalone.
Oh, he is one of them, yes. I kind of share Steve's feelings. This defense, I think, is in a precarious situation. They really have no depth. Oh, here's something I thought that was interesting. Vita Vea, the last 5 years, has been number four or number five most double-teamed defensive lineman. You know what that obviously tells me? The other teams aren't scared a whip about the defensive ends.
Part of that might be Kansas's injuries. Might be Kansas's
part of
injuries.
It, and that's fair. And that's
healthy Kansas could help in that regard.
He would be a monster difference if he could stay healthy.
Honestly, I don't think that'll change because he's just that big and that strong. It does come back ultimately to Vea that we got to double team this guy. I still think that'll keep going, even if you have better guys on the edge, because he's capable of rushing the quarterback. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition since 1960. They've been here before the Buccaneers. That's how strong they are. The Curry family owns and operates the dealership, as they always have. At one point, they were the only Ford dealers in Tampa, and they've been growing with the community. This is the biggest service department in Florida. This is hometown service. This is General Manager Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford giving you the Ira Kaufman discount. Just reach out to him through the website, BillCurryFord.com, or the Joe Bucks fan discount. Same thing. Same amount of money, Ira. And, of course, there's incredible specials going. Great weekend to start shopping. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. Ira Kaufman is here, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports. Lee DeCamper is here. I'm here, Steve Isbitz. And Ira, you were on with T-Kraz on The Drive on 95.7. Anybody can go catch that on the iHeartRadio app. I'm not sure what you said, but I'm sure it was noteworthy.
Hey, he held me over for a second segment over there. It's like going on the Carson show and getting invited to the couch, Steve. That's what it's like. You know, comedian goes on Carson. Sometimes they don't get to the couch. They do their little 5 minutes to get the wave. Now, may I?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to direct this at Lee DeCamper over here because Lee's got to straighten me out. Now, Lee. On paper,
mm-hmm.
would you love to rip to shreds that paper?
It depends what's on it.
Three freaking home games
mm-hmm.
in the first 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The pitiless rays of the tropical sun beating down. And here come the brownies who stink anyway. And they're coming from Cleveland. And in September, Cleveland's not a cauldron, you know, and they're practicing. And
it can get hot in Cleveland in the summertime.
But, Lee, facts are facts. And I don't think the Bucs have done a good job of establishing a home field advantage. First of all, Lee, why is that? And how debilitating is it for this franchise? I think most of the time they play better on the road than they do at home. I don't get it.
Well, it's nothing new that this team, outside of a here
why
or
can't
there.
They go 6-2 at home or 6-3 when they got 9 home games. I don't understand.
I just know when they made Super Bowl runs, they did do that. But Raheem Morris always talked about, you know, we're going to make them melt in the heat here. I remember he talked about the Cowboys. Oh, we're going to have them melt in heat. Raheem, it gets hot in Dallas in the summer. So I don't know why that is. Like, it's outside of an off game here or there. The Bears, the Vikings.
It doesn't have anything to do with the fans coming in from out of town.
No.
I've seen
games where, you know, Pittsburgh came in or Baltimore came in early in the season, took over that stadium, and the Bucks got stomped, and it was like 90 degrees. So I think the quote-unquote heat advantage is way overblown for the Bucks. Way overblown.
Shouldn't it be an advantage?
You would think so, but why that is, I don't know. I'm sure the Bucks have people employed that comb through National Weather Service figures and go through the body heat of the players, and they may have an idea
Steve,
why.
Having said that, Bowles is good about getting off to a fast start.
Well, Bucks,
but
were,
not necessarily because they're at home.
Bucks were 4-4 last year at home. Baker Mayfield has been public. He said it publicly a couple of times. He prefers to play on the road. He's a road kind of guy. Loves the road trip. He loves all
shutting up those fans.
He doesn't say that, but he just he feels good on the road. You know, maybe it's his me against the world mentality. But as far as the home field advantage, no, there's no home field advantage for the Bucks. We've seen it pop up here and there, but that could happen anywhere.
Why is that acceptable?
I don't know.
It shouldn't be acceptable. But I don't know how you fix it. Here's how you fix it. You build a kick-ass defense that gets after the quarterback. That's how you fix it. And that's something our current coach is averse to doing.
And you have a deep rotation of pass rushers to do it,
yep,
to keep them fresh.
And you need a healthy offensive line to be able to close out games. And you got to be tougher. And look, they've admitted they've been soft. So I don't know how you have
A hell of an admission for a franchise.
It's a staggering admission. But they've admitted it this offseason. They've attacked it. But
have they?
You can't. Oh, sure. Sure.
You don't think that's because Jason Light was looking for choir boys? I don't.
No,
think.
Well, Rondé Barber came out and said, yeah, they abandoned. That was the word he used. They abandoned their philosophy, and they went tough for guys. They wanted dogs this year. And I'm sure Jason Light read that at JoeBucksFan.com. And hopefully he finally called Rondé and said, look, man, I've said the exact opposite publicly.
Yeah.
That we didn't abandon I Am That Man.
Yeah.
And I Am That Man never meant, oh, you can't get angry players and tough guys and edgy guys. But Barber said, oh, no, they abandoned it. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm looking at guys like Braswell, Reddick, Shoyinka. They're not physical. I don't think they're physical. Maybe Shoyinka was physical a little bit. You know, Reddick, not overly. Reddick was a finesse player, and it worked well for him when he was 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can't find a team that wants him.
Yeah.
Braswell's Braswell. We don't need to go any further. Not physical, Steve. Now, Bain, that's a change.
Yeah.
That's a change.
What Rondé's saying about nice guys, that was Tryon and Braswell to a T.
Joe Dennis,
Tryon,
not overly physical. Dennis, a finesse player.
Oh,
Trotter, physical.
Here's one for Ira. I'll give Jenna Lane credit for digging us up. And I double check. Or as some of these people would say, I can confirm. No. Just give someone the credit for finding it first.
That's right.
So, Servassier Dennis led the Bucks last year in missed tackle percentage. There may be exceptions, but can you have a good defense with a linebacker, starting linebacker, leading the team in missed tackles?
And maybe Lavonte right behind him.
Well, Anzalone had more missed tackles a couple years ago for Detroit than Lavonte David ever had.
I don't want to pick on Dennis. You know, he's back on the team, I think. And I'm not giving up on him, but he wasn't very good last year.
Oh.
You know, certain plays get your attention.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in Atlanta for week one. I'm sitting there in Mercedes-Benz. The third freaking snap.
Have ice cream?
I already had it. The third freaking snap. You were with me, Steve.
I know. I was there.
And he can confirm the ice cream.
Bijan Robinson floats out to the one guy. The one guy you got to pay attention to. Maybe with Drake London as 1B. He floats out to the right in the flat. There's nobody around him.
Yeah, how can you do that?
They throw him the ball. Right?
Yeah, we all saw it, Ira.
Servassier Dennis was in the middle of the field. He comes screaming over. The guy goes right around him. Right around. 50-yard touchdown. On a play that should have went 6 yards.
And other guys missed him, too. Or
and I think
him.
That was a very telling play because it didn't get a lot better
nope.
when the season went on.
Nope. My play was the Jalen Hurts play, where he was running up the right sideline for up 30 yards. Right in front of him was Rossi Dennis, clueless that freaking Hurts is right behind him. You know what? You've seen these old 1950s films, college football, where some guy's running by himself down on the sideline. Guy runs off the bench and tackles him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I thought was going to happen for Servassier Dennis. Someone would tackle him so they...
Steve, how many years can Bowles talk about lousy tackling? How many years can you talk about it? The players are changing. What's going on? What's going on? Aren't you practicing this stuff?
A combination of a few things. One, tuning out the teachers, but now they've got different coaches, so that could change. You have to have some new players in there, so they obviously do, hopefully upgrades. And a burning desire and a terrible fear, combine the two phrases.
To be embarrassed.
No,
to
actually tackle somebody in training camp. They're terrified. Oh my gosh, we might get hurt. And that wasn't the way it used to be, and not every NFL team operates that way. So if you don't tackle all summer long because you're terrified to wrap up and bring someone to the ground, eventually that's going to catch up to you, I think.
I think Steve's onto something. I'll rhetorically ask you this, Ira, and I've done it before. I never saw Mike Tomlin have a bad tackling team. I've never seen Harbaugh at Baltimore have a bad tackling team. Mentor, when he was in when he was with the Chargers, never saw bad tackling with him.
Spagnuolo?
The guy up in Seattle. So unless someone's telling me those coaches are skirting the rules, and every NFL facility has cameras all over the place so they can be monitored by New York, that they're not having illegal type practices, no Oklahoma drills and stuff like that. So, you know, everybody always whines, well, you know, we can't practice hitting. Well, how is it Tomlin had tackling? How is it Harbaugh had tackling? Both Harbaughs.
Schwartz, another guy.
Well, yeah, exactly. So don't give me this, it can't be taught. Don't give me this, they don't have enough practice time. Don't give me this, they don't let them be physical. That's nonsense. It's
Steve, how many years do you think this has been going on in practice that it's been bugging you?
Well, you're going to find that out on Tuesday, Ira, when you're patrolling One Buck Palace.
I'll have a full report next week.
All right, Ira, look, we're getting out of here on this podcast. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. We need some real football, but it's going to be a little while.
And I got golf coming up. Best ball with a group. I like best ball, Steve. And I hope they use one of my balls during 18 holes.
At Palm Harbor?
No, Seven Springs. And it's free. If it's free, it's me.
Palm Harbor does not have free there, do they?
No, absolutely not. It's like a Rotary thing, and I got invited.
I got it. And
a free lunch.
Are you like a celebrity guest? Or are you doing some of this? No,
nobody knows who I am over there. They're all doctors and lawyers over there. I'll report my score next week.
Busy week for the Bucks ahead, and we'll be all over it in our own way.
We're almost at mandatory minicamp, Steve. We're almost there.
It's mandatory.